Well, it's a joy to be in Leaven again this evening, and good to see everyone who's managed along to the meeting, and your presence is much appreciated, and we do trust that God will bless his word to us this evening. Now we're going to read a few verses from the Gospel by Luke, so it's Luke's Gospel in chapter number 4, so you can either follow the reading if you have a Bible, or otherwise just feel free to listen, that's fine, as we read from Luke's Gospel in chapter number 4. And we'll read at verse number 13. Luke chapter 4 and verse 13. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him, that's from Jesus, for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And it was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Verse 24, "And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." And down to verse 28, "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up, and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way, and came down to Capernaum, the city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." Now we do trust that God will graciously bless the reading of his precious word. So I want to look with you this evening at what happened to the Lord Jesus when he visited the synagogue at Nazareth. I'm sure you all understand that Jesus, the Lord Jesus, was brought up and lived in the town of Nazareth. All the four gospel writers tell us about that, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So that the Lord Jesus came to be known as Jesus of Nazareth. I think you'll find that phrase 17 times in the New Testament of your Bible. Men and women, demons and angels all spoke of him, the Lord Jesus, as Jesus of Nazareth. You may be saying, well, who was the woman that spoke about him? Well, you remember when the Lord Jesus was in the house or the garden of Caiaphas the high priest, there's a young woman that spoke to Peter and said, "He's one of his followers. He's one of the followers of Jesus of Nazareth." Actually, the Lord Jesus himself described himself on one occasion as, "I am Jesus of Nazareth." The testimony of Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, or his experience of becoming a Christian, is described for us three times in the book of the Acts. When it actually happened, in Acts chapter 9, and then on two occasions when he spoke about it after that. And it's only on one occasion in chapter 22, as the Apostle Paul now was giving his testimony how he became a Christian. He says, "I heard a voice from heaven, and I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And the answer came back to him, 'I am Jesus of Nazareth.'" So that's interesting, isn't it? Jesus of Nazareth. There's something very special and precious about that name, Jesus of Nazareth. You see, Nazareth was just a kind of small, nondescript town in the north of the land of Palestine. 70 miles north of that great and glorious, majestic city of Jerusalem, the city of our God, the great center of the Jewish faith and race and culture. But it wasn't to there that the Lord Jesus came. He was known as Jesus of Nazareth. And if you look on the map at the bottom end of the Sea of Galilee, and over here, on your, looking from your side, is the Mediterranean, just halfway between the bottom of the Sea of Galilee and the Mediterranean coast is Nazareth. And when the Lord Jesus was here, it's difficult to discover exactly how many people, but there were just a few thousand people, possibly, who lived in Nazareth. On one occasion, in John chapter 1, a disciple, a follower of Jesus, went to find his friend Nathanael. And with great excitement, Philip exclaimed to Nathanael, "We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So Philip's saying to his friend, "We have found him. We have found God's promised Messiah." And he was so excited. And Nathanael effectively says, "Just a minute. Did you say Jesus of Nazareth?" And then he added this, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" You see, Nazareth was spoken with disdain and disgust. And it was an area of the country that people didn't like very much. And people have thought there's maybe several reasons for that. It was maybe something to do with their dialect and the way they spoke. Sometimes that happens, doesn't it? Or maybe it's because it was, you see, it was just on the border, really, on the coast, on the verge of the land of the Jewish land, and it was kind of near where the Gentiles lived. That wasn't a very place. That wasn't a very good place for Jews to live, just in the border regions of Gentile territory. And other people think, well, there was a Roman garrison there. A very strong Roman presence. And of course the Jewish people did not like the occupying Roman forces. But for whatever reason, it was not the most popular place in the land. And yet how wonderful and how gracious and how precious. And what grace and humility that when God's Son came into this world, that's to where he came, and that's where he lived. And in a humble, poor peasant home, his earthly guardian father was just a humble tradesman, a carpenter. And that's where the Lord Jesus was brought up. Jesus of Nazareth. It's interesting that a little bit earlier in this gospel, when the Lord Jesus was very young, it says in chapter 2, it says that when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem. And then further down the chapter it says, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth. So that gives you the whole picture. Up to Jerusalem, down to Nazareth. Now it was that actually, physically and geographically, it was up and down. But there was more than that. That was in terms of standing and of status. And perhaps socially and morally, down to Nazareth. And that's where the Lord Jesus left. And in these verses here, it tells us that he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Now there's something special, isn't there, about where you've been brought up. I always like to go back to where I was brought up. Away down in the south of England, away down to Devon, and you'd have to go to the city of Plymouth. But to be there and to see the landmarks and, you know, the school and all those kind of things, just to go back, maybe for you it's Leven, I don't know. And for you, Leven might be a very precious place. Or it might be somewhere else, wherever it was that you were born and brought up. And so it's quite a touching picture, isn't it? As it says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And here, just at this stage in the gospel, the Lord Jesus is stepping out from obscurity, and the earlier part of the chapter 4 here, is his temptation. And the previous chapter 3, gives us his age. Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. And here he is. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And the Lord Jesus is setting out now from obscurity into a public ministry. And he's going on a preaching tour of Galilee, the whole region of the north of the country. He's setting out and he's preaching his message. And further down the chapter it tells us, or we read it in verse number 15, he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth. Now notice what it says about the Lord Jesus when he came to Nazareth. It says, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And he was handed the book or the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Now that was good, wasn't it? It seems that it was his habit to go into God's house on God's day and read God's word. And that's a great habit, and I hope that's your habit. And that should be my habit too. For this particular day, God's house, God's word, and God's day. So we're not here tonight to present our own opinions, or our own ideas, or our own religion. We are here to consider God's word. To be in God, and it's great that you're in God's house on God's day to consider God's word. You see, we can hear other people, you know, politicians, journalists, pundits, academics, industry leaders, we can hear them all the time. But you know, when it comes to our spiritual need, and when it comes to salvation, we need to be found looking at and considering God's word. And so that's what we're doing together this evening. And so the Lord Jesus comes. And it's interesting, if you read it again and look and think about it, the Lord Jesus actually knew the passage that he wanted to read that day. Now I thought about what passage would I read at leaving this evening, and I've come to this passage. But the Lord Jesus had prepared himself before he went to the synagogue in Nazareth on this occasion. And it says, he found the place where it was written. Now it's interesting, there'd be no chapters or verses. These have been put in since, and it's great that they're there for our convenience. And I can say to you chapter 4 and verse 13. But the Lord Jesus, he took the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and he found the place. Now that does teach us that he knew what he was looking for, and it teaches us that he was familiar, wasn't he, with God's word. And then it says he stood to read. Now that would be the custom at the time. And he sat down to teach. So his attitude, it showed respect, didn't it? And consideration and reverence for the reading of God's word. Now I didn't ask you to stand. You'll find that elsewhere in the scriptures where they stood for the reading of God's word. But the main thing is our attitude of heart, isn't it? That when we come to God's word, it's with a degree of reverence and respect that we understand that this is a special book, and it's a special message, and it is indeed God's word. And may it be that as we think about it and as we've read it, that it's not just my voice, but it would be God's voice that we would hear speaking to us through his word. Now notice that on this occasion in Luke chapter 4, there was something rather special this day in the synagogue at Nazareth. Because when Jesus had finished reading and he sat down, it says this, there was a silence, and there was a focus, and there was a concentration, and there was an expectation, because it says, the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed, were fastened on him. Now, you know, sometimes the preacher sees the eyes glazing over, you know. And sometimes the preacher hears the sweetie papers rustling, you know. But there were no sweetie papers and there were no glazed eyes. The eyes of all were fastened on him in anticipation. And there was a recognition that that day, the scripture reading was different. There was something different in the synagogue that day. Now, the scriptures would have been read every Sabbath day. And I suspect that this particular passage that the Lord Jesus chose, which is Isaiah chapter 61, it would have been read often. But on this occasion it was being read like it had been never read before. And there was something different. And the silence of the building was suddenly broken by a unique voice that was authoritative, commanding, and majestic. And the voice said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. What Old Testament scripture had the Lord Jesus sought out and turned to that day? Carefully and diligently and with preparation. As he's setting out on his public ministry and his preaching tour of Galilee. Says the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. The Lord Jesus is saying, standing before you today in the synagogue at Nazareth is God's Messiah, God's anointed one, God's sent one. I am here. As God's messenger, because God my Father has sent me. And someone in the congregation might say, well, I've got a question here. Why has God sent you? What are you here for? Well, says the Lord Jesus, this is why I'm here. You see, there's the poor. There's the poor among you. And I have been sent to preach the gospel to the poor. And there's the brokenhearted. And some of you in the synagogue today at Nazareth are brokenhearted. And I have been sent to heal the brokenhearted. And then there's the captives, and some of you are captives, and we'll speak about that in a minute. And I am come to proclaim liberty to them. And there's the blind, and I'm here to recover their sight. And there's the bruised and the oppressed, and I am here to set them free. And for all of these purposes, says the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. And you see, during a few years of the life of the Lord Jesus and his public ministry, he did all of those things again and again and again. He preached to the poor. He healed the brokenhearted. He set the captives free. And the blind received their sight. And the bruised and the oppressed were set free. And he did that actually and literally for so many people as he served and preached and ministered and spoke his parables and performed his miracles. And undeservingly and freely and without prejudice or partiality, the Lord Jesus brought such great blessing to mankind. We'll just mention one or two examples. The poor and the blind could be represented by a beggar called Bartimaeus. Do you remember the story? The beggar who sat by the wayside dead. And the Lord Jesus came. And the scripture says that the Lord Jesus actually stood still. And in the busy throng of the crowd walking down the street, he stood still. And he heard a distant cry above the hubbub and the noise and the shouts and the excitement. Jesus says, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they said, you be quiet, Bartimaeus. He's far too busy. You're not important enough for him to be concerned about you. And Jesus said, bring him to me. What a wonderful picture of this one who had come to preach to the poor and to give sight to the blind. The brokenhearted, well, here's an example. Here's a dear woman who's making her way out of the city of Nain. She's brokenhearted. You couldn't think of greater sorrow. She'd been that way before because she was a widow. She'd buried her husband. And she only had one son. One son. And here now he's died. But there's more. He was a young man. And that's the extent of this woman's sorrow and her brokenheartedness. But you know, the Lord Jesus had come to heal the brokenhearted. And he stopped the funeral procession and he said, weep not. And you know how that he raised the young man to life and restored him back to his mother. The captives, to set the captives free. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? The man of Gadara. a man who was demon possessed, a man that no one could tame. And he lived out in the tombs. And the Lord Jesus came. And he cast the demons out of this man. And he sat. And he had been naked and no man could bind him. But he sat clothed and in his right mind. Do you know what the people did? They said to the Lord Jesus, "We don't want you around here." And they asked him to leave. How sad is that? But he had come, you see, he had come to bring deliverance and freedom to the captives. But he'd come for the bruised. Who would we think about for the bruised? What about the woman of Samaria? John chapter 4. Her life was a list of broken relationships. How sad is that? And she was an outcast as far as society was concerned, and she came to the well in the heat of the sun at midday because she knew that there'd be nobody else there. She was a lonely outcast, a broken-hearted woman, and the Lord Jesus met her and spoke to her. And she said, "Is not this the Christ?" And she was blessed by the Saviour. And so these few examples teach us that here he is. He's God's Messiah. And the Spirit of God was upon him. And he was doing all of these things. There was a paralyzed man. And when his friends brought him to the Lord Jesus, remember what the Lord Jesus said? Not only get up and walk, but said, "Son, my sins be forgiven." And that was the greater need of this man. And here he is, God's anointed, the Messiah, to bring blessing to mankind. And this lovely, lowly man, dressed in peasant garb, who walked about the streets, had visited these homes in Galilee and the synagogue, and preached. He was destined to die on a cross. And every time he spoke the words of forgiveness, it was put to his account. And the day would come when, hanging upon a cross, he would bear God's judgment and penalty for those sins that he had spoken the words of forgiveness for. But you see, it's not just history this. It embraces every one of us here this evening in Leven, in the gospel hall. We are among these people. We are the poor. We are the brokenhearted. We are the captives. We are the blind. We are the bruised. And in whatever way sin has impacted each of our lives, and it has affected and impacted every one of us, the Lord Jesus wants to bring to us healing and blessing and recovery and sight and freedom and joy. Have you experienced it? Have you known his blessing in your life? You know, the sad thing about this day at Nazareth, when the Lord Jesus was in the synagogue with this, what did they think about him? You know, there was a wee whisper around the synagogue that day. Did somebody say something? It's not this Joseph's son. They didn't believe what he said. They didn't believe who he was. And so they rejected him. And they actually rejected him physically and violently. And they took him out of their town, and it says that they would have cast him down over the brow of the hill on which their town was built. How sad is that? Now, how about us here this evening? You know, not to be saved is to be lost. And not to know the blessing that Christ can bring into our lives of forgiveness is to be unforgiven. And to face the consequences of our sin. And to stand before a holy God. And to be judged. And to be cast into the lake of fire. And so may we think about these things. May we think about this blessed person. Understand who he is, God's Messiah, the Anointed One. And he'll bring blessing into our lives if we but trust him as our Saviour and thank him for dying for us in our room and in our stead upon the cross of Calvary. Thank you for listening so patiently. Our time is gone. We'll just close in prayer and then we'll sing from the hymn. Our Father, we bow again to thank thee for thy precious word and for the joy of reading from it and considering it together. How we bless thee again for the Lord Jesus Christ and for his being sent into this world as God's Messiah, the promised one, the anointed one, and for the blessings that he brought to mankind. We bless that he can bring blessing into each of our lives too, if we but allow him and make room for him, and receive him into our hearts and lives as our Saviour and our Lord. So we ask you to bless thy word in every head and heart bowed in thy presence. And we commend ourselves to thee and commit the issues of this meeting to thee as we go and as we part. And offer our evening praise and our worship in our Saviour's precious name. Amen. Now we'll just take, our time is gone, but perhaps you'll allow us to sing two verses of a hymn. It's number 57. We don't have 1,000 tongues, but we can sing as if we did. The last verse says, he breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me. Perhaps we can stand if we're able and sing just the first and the last verses, verses 1 and 4 of this beautiful hymn of praise, number 57.